You're tuned in to The Dr. Kinney Show, and I'm your host, Dr. Erin Kinney, a naturopathic doctor and speaker dedicated to unraveling the mysteries of your body and guiding you back into balance. Through my years of practice, I've discovered that knowledge empowers healing. The more you understand about your health, the better choices you make, leading you towards recovery. Join me each week as we dive deep into actionable insights and wisdom from myself and top experts in the holistic health community. Together, we'll equip you with the tools to decipher what's happening in your body, why it's reacting as it does, and how to restore harmony in both your body and your life. Whether you're seeking relief from unexplained symptoms or aiming to optimize your well-being, this is your sanctuary. Welcome to the Dr. Kinney Show, where understanding leads to healing. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Kinney Show. This week, I'm really pleased to have joining me Liz David, who is a certified financial planner. And I'm super excited about this conversation because we're going to hear from her perspective, you know, how finances can have such an impact on stress levels. And we'll chat a little bit about how that stress can have an impact on your physical body. And it's a really important thing to get that part of your life under control, particularly if you are having health problems or financial problems. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize how much of an impact that type of stress can have on you. And she's going to talk to you about ways we can reduce that stress. So Liz, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited about this chat.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. And I feel like we could talk all day.
I'm sure.
I'm just super grateful. You've just helped me through so much of my own personal health stuff. And you focus so much on stress. And I got thinking one day, I'm like, what? People come to me and they carry so much stress about finances, and I can answer or hopefully guide them through a lot of that. But again, I think that having this conversation and just making people aware hopefully will be helpful. I love to start. Well, I'll kind of back up a little bit. So I have been doing this for, gosh, 18 plus years. And I was very young getting into the industry. And I remember sitting across the table from a widow, and she was like 70. She had just lost her husband. And she was like, I want you to be my financial planner. I don't know what I'm doing. She was extremely overwhelmed with grief, had never really been on her own. And I knew in that moment that I wanted to be there for her, but I didn't know what I was doing. I was 22. I was like, I can't be this trusted person, but she needs somebody. Like, she's stressed and she's confused. And so that's kind of where my passion was born for the industry of, you know, I thought that it was just like my first job that would hopefully pay some bills out of college. But here I am 18 years later and I love it. I found this quote that you've probably heard, but it's an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I feel like, gosh, that is what you do and what you've helped me with is hopefully, you know, prevent some of the big things before they, well, prevent things before they become big things. And it really applies to finances because I can see where financial planning, if we do it right, I always say we've done retirement hundreds of times. You don't want to have to make all the mistakes yourself. And so if we can learn and prevent things from happening, be proactive instead of reactive, it's so important. And I talk about retirement a lot, but really it's just having a financial plan at any point in life. And I see people come in. So the widow was one, but you know, over the years, you see a lot of people and they come in and I think there's a level of like what's ingrained in us, what we just learned, nature versus nurture. You know, if your family, I'll pick on my husband for a second. If your family thought about finances, then almost anything financial is probably going to stress you out. And recognizing that about yourself ahead of time so that you can't not address it, but if you can figure out how to address it and not just go to that fight or flight mode because finances are part of the topic, I think is really important.
Yeah.
So again, kind of like recognizing what is my DNA of money? Is it something that creates stress for me? Am I totally comfortable with finances and taking control of them? I struggle. I'm frustrated. I mean, I don't know if when you were in high school, is there like a personal finance class?
No, you don't learn any of that stuff. You don't. When do you learn that?
Exactly. Well, this is kind of jumping ahead, but there's this 1950s economics book and a picture out of it is this woman who's in a dress with an apron on and like three children who are like dressed to the nines and hair combed. And the dad is sitting on a recliner and they're handing him dinner. I'm like, that really was like taught in economics. And the world has just changed so much. And so originally when I reached out, I was like, let's talk about women. But really, we all carry stress with finances. And back then, when that economics textbooks was happening, you know, 30% of women were in the labor force. Now 59% of us are in the workforce. And back then, 12% were breadwinners. Now we're almost 60%, over 30% are breadwinners. And I think that adds stress to everybody because now we're still juggling, trying to get dinner on the table, but we also contribute to the finances. It's just all of it. So kind of taking a step back of like recognizing how do you respond to finances? What, and I think just having like a, you know, a real conversation with yourself of do, am I the ostrich? Do I stick my head in the sand and just not deal with it? Because if that's the case, it's still building stress somewhere in your body because you're not addressing it. And again, there's no personal finance class. And I think too, if you've ever been in the cockpit of a plane, there's like 8,000 things to look at. I'll never forget. My husband's cousin is a pilot and he flew us one time. And I was like, he has this binder of like checklists and there's so many switches. And we as humans, from a survival standpoint, you probably can speak more to this than me, but we have to narrow focus. It's just a survival thing. We can't focus on everything. And finances sometimes can feel like that cockpit and you get narrowly focused on something. So back to the pilots, they've proven that they can only focus on 17% of what's in front of them in the cockpit. That's why there's always two pilots. And then 83% of the alarms have sound and blinking lights if something's going off, because they know those pilots can only focus on so much. And that's where I see people come in, or, and I'm going to keep picking on my husband. You know, for example, when I met him, he's like, I max out my 401k, so I'm going to be set. Meanwhile, he was just doing the 6% to get the company match. But that's where he just narrowly focused on, I'm doing my 401k, so I don't need a financial plan. You know, some people also narrow frame and look at what's on the news and think, oh my gosh, the stock market is down. I must be in a terrible place. Or they focus so much on, I have to make my bills today. I have to focus on living today. There's no sense in having a plan. I've heard so many different things. Some people used to be like, I just need to get to $1 million and I'll be fine. Now it's more than that. Inflation, here we come. You know, some people get so focused on like, I just need $2 million. Sometimes for my business owners, they focus so much on their business that they forget about their own personal financial plan. So it's just kind of taking a step back and recognizing what are you narrow framing on and, you know, opening up your vision to look at the big picture, because it's so important. And I think that that's true where sometimes we have to narrow focus to survive. I get that. But yeah. I think having a full-blown financial plan so that we can look at the full scope, once it's done, it's not like it has to be done daily. And I think that's another kind of common misconception, is we need to get all of these things in place right away. It's not going to happen. But addressing the things, I'll say like our peers, we have young children, our mortgage is through the roof. We have not increased, you know, we don't have tons of retirement savings. If God forbid my husband or I were to die, our biggest asset right now is our ability to earn income over the next 20 years. We need to protect that. That needs to be a priority. If you say, you know, I work a job, I have two kids, I coach lacrosse, like all of these things, I run a business. All of those things are important, but let's get the life insurance in place or something. You know, focus on what you can do now is so important. And that's where I think a financial plan at any stage can really help.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to pause you there for a second. I think also what's jumping out to me with what all the things you're talking about is, you know, like myself, I have kids, I run a business, just like most women, I have a lot of things going on. Do I have a lot of time to make a financial plan? No. So, you know, one of my main messages on the show is get support, right? Whether it's your health, and mostly we're talking about with your on your health journey. But, you know, in this, what we're talking about, if this is something you're not focused on and you're kind of that ostrich in the sand, reach out to someone who's a financial planner. I'd be like, hey, can you help me get a plan? So then you at least have the, like, your nervous system be like, okay, you know what? I might not be exactly where I need to be, but at least I have a plan. Someone is supporting me in this aspect, right? Like, you know, I think when you're worried about something going on in your body, if you don't talk to a practitioner or you don't know what's happening, it's scary. But as soon as you make the call and you're like, okay, yes, I started getting acupuncture, or I went and saw my naturopath, or I saw my primary care, and they talked me through it and they ran the blood work and I'm fine, then you can calm down a little bit, right? So, and I've been in situations where, yes, I've been like, you know, you mentioned I'm actually probably one of those ones where I'm so focused on my business financials and my personal, I probably haven't paid much attention to, I probably need to call you and have a plan set up. But
you're not alone.
And I think, but I, for a long time, when I first was running, I didn't really even think about a plan for my business. I didn't have a budget. I didn't do that stuff. And I would just kind of, but I had so much like low level anxiety. I'd always be like, oh, I hope I can make payroll next month. I hope I can. But I, a few years ago, I brought someone who's like a CFO, and we meet once a week, and we just go over all like the financial health of the business, and we have a budget and revenue plans, and it just feels so much more relaxed to know that there's a plan, right? Like, and I think, you know, when you started off this episode talking about prevention, right? Like we all spend a lot of time making sure, okay, I gotta take my supplements, I gotta eat my vegetables, I gotta do all these things to prevent the big, scary heart disease, diabetes, all those things, you know, but financial, like preventing, I mean, what would you say? You'd be preventing like financial demise during retirement, or what? I mean, we're ensuring.
I think it's a lot of
ensuring that you're going to be okay financially from now until retirement or through retirement. Correct.
All of it. Like if it's all of like those God forbid scenarios, like God forbid I die tomorrow, making sure that my kids and my husband don't have financial stress, making sure that I don't turn around at 65 and say, oh, shoot, shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, and I think you're spot on. I appreciate, and I think there's so much similarities between a naturopathic doctor and a good financial advisor. Is there's like this holistic, whole person approach. You know, anybody can run a financial plan, but I think the biggest compliment, I think that what gets me up and gets me out the door in the morning is when people come in and they say, like, I feel so much better after talking to you, because they know that we're not going to tackle it all because it's impossible, but they know that if something is coming up and needs to be addressed, I'm going to bring it to their attention. Medicare is a really good example. Like, it's so confusing. My 65-year-olds, whether they're working or not, are like, do I need to sign up? Do I not need to sign up? Can I do my HSA? Can I not do my HSA? And they get 27,000 mailers a week on buy my Medicare supplement. You know, it's all so confusing. So helping guide them, and I'm not proclaiming to be this Medicare expert, but, you know, helping them address those big things that come up and knowing that they have an objective opinion too. I think that's so important. You know, somebody who is not going to be emotional. And that's where, again, I see it for myself. Like when I'm stressed out and worn down, I am not in my best mental state. And so I'm not making sound decisions on finances. And so that you want somebody to be that objective opinion, especially in a marriage too. I think sometimes it can be, you know, having those conversations about like, where are you going to retire? What does that look like? You may not have this crystal ball, but if one says Pennsylvania and one says Florida, okay, we need to figure it out. So it's kind of having, you know, that, again, it's just a partner, somebody who's going to help be sure that you're staying ahead of the curve, but also knowing like life. I love your chart.
Oh, the healing chart.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it's the path to healing. Yep. It's not this perfect line. And that's life. Like that's what we do with our clients is life. And we're going to lay the foundation and plan for the worst, hope for the best, but life is going to throw a curveball. And that's okay. Right now I feel like I'm handed a lot of these like 60 somethings, early 60 somethings who are planning to work for a few more years. And they're getting these taps on the shoulders. Like, here's your severance package and you're out. I mean, that's a big, like, holy cow, I was going to work for 4 more years and now I have to make this fast decision in a month. And so guiding people through that, I think just gives them peace because they don't feel like they're on it on their own. We also, as humans, tend to feel pain. And you can probably see, I wonder if you see this, 2.5 times more than we feel joy. So like, if people are feeling really crummy, well, this is a terrible example for a financial advisor, but if you go to the casino and you win and you lose $1,000, you feel that 2.5 times more than if you had won. And so I think that that's where, back to that narrow focus, people can just get so focused on the dollar amount in their portfolio, or, you know, especially for those who are struggling to make ends meet month to month, it can get so heavy and so, you know, stressful But really, if we can take a step back and come back to that big picture plan and say, okay, this is where we are today, just like you do with your health. We're not going to just jump forward to all of a sudden you're healthy, but let's get the steps in place to get back on track. And especially when those things happen, like the early layoffs, I'll call it, or early retirement that's handed to you, not by choice. If you have that foundation in place, then we're just adjusting the sales versus somebody who's 59, has never done financial planning, and now they have to make this decision on, can I take this severance? Can I not? I have 4 weeks to make that decision. I have to establish a good relationship, somebody I trust. I have to get a financial plan in place. It's so overwhelming, so overwhelming. So I think it's important to just, again, recognize that, you know, let's not focus on just the negatives. Not that they're not important. You know, market pullbacks are painful. But as long as we're answering to your plan, as long as your plan is still on track, that's really what matters. Can you live the life you're accustomed to? And if not, how do we get back on track?
Yeah, I like that.
So I touched on, you know, the economics textbook. And I think, again, just because we have more dual income households, there a lot of times for younger generations or even our generation, not that we're not young, but I think there's this kind of thought process of, I just need to make more money and then money will not be a worry. You know, once I have all the money, the concern and worry will go away. And that is absolutely
more money,
not
more
true.
Problems, right?
It changes.
Or different problems, more money, different problems.
Exactly. So, you know, it's just, there's this really cool chart that basically shows JP Morgan. There's a lot of different, you know, economists that I follow. JP Morgan's one of the ones that I love, but they have this chart of like things that people worry about by age. And, you know, when we're in our 20s and 30s, it's like paying bills and buying a house and all of these things. And then you fast forward to like the 7-year-olds and it's like the long-term care and, you know, I'll fast forward into retirement planning, but it just changes. It doesn't mean that concern is gone. So I think that is a good transition into just, okay, what do we do? You know, and that's where you focus on things that are in your control because a lot of things are not. And so saving versus spending is a big one and it's hard, but it's important. And it's honestly, it's like the secret ingredient at all stages, whether I'm talking to a 30-year-old or a 75-year-old, it is the most important thing. And maybe a lot of times I'll talk about budget and it's such a negative connotation. People are like, I don't want to put myself on a budget. And I'm like, I get it. I don't even live on a budget because I have kids. It's impossible. And chickens and dogs. I have all the things that you just never know. But you need to focus on what's coming in versus what's going out. Especially if you start early, we as Americans tend to live up to what we make. So if you pay yourself first, earmark that money towards savings, it pays itself in dividends long term. So you have control over saving and spendings, asset allocation, we've all heard. And then location. This is something that I've seen with our younger folks, maybe not taking advantage of their 401k. But oftentimes it has a free company match. Like that's free money. I highly suggest you consider contributing there instead of doing something like a online trading account where you're going to pay taxes every year. Things we have some control of are how long we work. So, you know, if somebody comes in and says, I want to retire at 55, I'm like, all right, buckle up. It's doable, but we got to make, like, you have to work hard. But then again, there's some people who say, I want to work till 66, and then they're getting kind of this, you know, shown the door earlier than they think. Longevity, I kind of struggle with, and this is from a planning standpoint. I always plan till 95 plus because I don't want to plan. I'll pick on my men. You know, they often are like, nope, 85, I'm going to go. I'm like, but your dad lived till 92. So we want to see how long that money is going to last. You know, everybody also says they want to die broke. If we all knew when that was going to happen, then wouldn't that be beautiful? But so longevity, you know, health is certainly a big part of it. And, you know, you have to plan for what you know. Totally out of our control are things like taxes. You know, taxes, we have a big tax change coming in 2025 and benefits policies. So like Social Security, I think this is another, you know, one of those things that creates stress. You know, if you watch the news for any amount of time, they might say, oh, Social Security is going to run out of money. You know, we have no control over that. We plan for what we know. And that's why you don't just do a financial plan one time, you come back to it. I love the clients who are like, you know, let's just do a financial plan and then they never catch up. And that it's just like a doctor. You want to have consistent check-ins. You want to make sure that even if you feel like there's nothing to talk about, we always fill an hour to an hour and a half. It's just important to know what's going on, know what's on your heart, know what's going on from a work standpoint. Make sure we haven't missed things like increased 401k contributions or, hey, my company dress, all those things.
Well, I was just going to, you touched a little bit on budget and be like, oh, nobody likes to live in a budget. And I was just going to share a personal story. I feel like never liked budgets. Man, I don't want to be in a budget. That sounds fun. But when I brought this CFO into my business, she was like, where's your budget? And I was like, I don't have a budget. And she's like, oh, we have to make a budget. And I got super anxious. But then we did the process. And I have to tell you that having a budget to me has lowered my stress from my business standpoint, like 3,000%. And here's how I like to explain it. I feel like when there's no budget, it's like there's no boundary, right? So like, and I've done some boundary workshop before, and they were like, if you don't have boundaries, it's like you're standing on top of a very tall building and you have a blindfold on. And if you don't know where the edge is, you're not going to move because you don't know where the edge is. It could be right next to you. It could be 10 feet, but you don't want to move. But if you take the blindfold off and you are very aware of where the edges are, you have room to grow within that budget. You can dance, you can move around, and you're less stressed because you know where the boundary is, right? So I've started to kind of shift my mindset around budgeting because I'm like, hey, and to me, budget includes like, you know, you look at like, okay, here's my expenses are, but also here's what's coming in. Like, you look at like, hey, I'm in a budget for this amount of revenue coming in, or this amount of, you know, payroll or whatever you're getting coming in. And when you just are aware of that, you can move more freely about life and not worry about money as much. And so I feel like that to me is cool. If you can shift your mindset around that, because I think, like you said, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to be in a budget. That sounds stressful. But it actually, like, I think it frees you. Like it gives you more freedom, right? Because again, you know where the edge is. You know where you can go and you know where you can't go. And then it doesn't have to be as constraining, even though it seems like it would be more constraining, but it's actually more freeing.
Oh my gosh. I love hearing that. I'm going to
maybe you should use that with your clients because it's been like game changing for me.
I love hearing that because I think oftentimes I come off like that banging the table on like, you need a budget and people just start to sweat. But I have great clients. They're in our age bracket. They do a monthly budget meeting and it's not so much of like a, why did you spend this on this? Like a finger pointing. It's more just recognition of like, hey, we said our budget was $15,000 a month. We went to 17. Is it just because food has gone up so much or like recognizing it? And this is where if somebody tells me that they spend $60,000 a year and we plan for that, but turns out they really spend $80,000 a year, it is garbage in, garbage out. So you want to have solid numbers because what it takes you to be Dr. Kinney today, your lifestyle's not going, you don't want to reduce your lifestyle in retirement or at any point, really. Yeah. And so recognizing what does it take? And to your point, how far can I go? Can I book the big vacation? Can I send my kid to private school? You know, all of those things.
I think it's using it as a tool. If you look at it more as a tool, it's a tool. And like you said, like if you, hey, we budgeted for this, but then we actually spent this. Okay. Do we miss budget? Do we need to rebudget for next month? Do we need to figure out how to make some extra income? I think if you just, again, if you look at all this as like, hey, this is a tool. And this is very similar to what I do with my patients. I come in like, hey, I tried that supplement protocol. I felt better here, but I didn't feel so great here. Okay, great. We're going to use that as information. We're going to tweak it. And then we're going to see what happens over the next couple of months. And like, you know, it's all about like refining and this is, you know, it's helping you get better and better. And I don't know. So I think it's such a valuable, so valuable.
Yeah. No, I love it. All of that is so true. Okay. So early on, focus on credit score. I think a lot of people get confused, like what impacts my credit score? It's important. Some kids come out of college and have no credit score. That's a problem too. How much you owe on loans impacts it. Interest rates on your current debt, payment history, length of credit, good credit mix. Your income does not impact your credit score. That budget, again, the tool of a budget. I love that. You know, your year-end credit card statements are like, we put everything on our Amazon credit card because we get a lot of cash back. And so use that. Look at the end of the year summary and see how much you put on the credit card. See what categories of spending was and then monitor it that way. It doesn't have to be like this is spreadsheeted out every day stressor. And then time is on your side. So back to the power of compounding interest, a simple, you know, simple math. If $10,000 invested over 40 years just at 3% is going to make $32,000. If you invested in a more growth oriented portfolio at 5%, that same 10 is now 70. At 6%, it would be 102. So starting early, but it's, I think it's really important to also mention it's never too late. The middle stage, I call it that juggling act where we are, you know, that caregiving is probably the biggest disruptor for us women, caring for kids, caring for parents. And so having that financial plan, just like you said, you know, if you're trying to do all of these things, a financial plan is probably not going to be top on your radar. And it doesn't have to be this big ongoing thing. It just take the time to address it. Tuck in things like the estate planning, you know, check off the important things and then do what you can as you go. Retirement, it can be 8,000 days. So it's a long time. If people are married, there's a 50% chance that at 65, one of them is going to make it to 92. So there's this like traditional travel, bike, golf, but really it's really evolved over time. And I see more people, you know, doing part-time work or semi-retirement or maybe having two homes. I think the biggest thing for people to think about here is managing the ambiguity of their day, because so many people are defined by their careers. And so it doesn't have to be like a hang your hat up at 65 and then, you know, ride off into the sunset and play golf every day. It really thinking ahead of time about what are you going to do to fill yourself up and fill your time is super important. Then there's the decision phase, like where are you going to live, maintaining access to things you can enjoy. There's this great research by MIT AgeLab out of Massachusetts, and they basically use like an ice cream cone and a light bulb as their example, because you have to think about like if you love your house, but you can't get up on a ladder and change your light bulbs, or you love your friends, but all of a sudden you can't drive, who are you going to get that social ice cream cone with? And who's going to take care of changing your light bulbs? You know, those are really important things to think about. Navigating longevity, and again, this is where, you know, managing health, managing caregiving, kids moving back home, all of those things. And then this is important. I will go back to my grandmother. She got married. She was like super pregnant, valedictorian at her high school graduation, with my mom, and she ended up having four girls. They were married forever. And then she lost her husband after like 50 plus years. And I will never forget, she called me. I didn't get married till in my 30s. And she's like, I don't know how to be. She had literally never been alone. She didn't know how. She had never had to do any of this. So encouraging women and men to make finances a joint venture, to really focus on building this together. And, you know, it's going to make for some tough discussions, but making sure that you both have skin in the game, for lack of better words, and understanding and education, because at some point, what you're probably going to be handling it by yourself, whether it's divorce or whether it's death, it's all of those things. So
yeah,
that's kind of like super fast, soup to nuts. Financial planning.
So, it's so much good information. And I'm so glad you reached out to me to do this episode, because as you said, it's so similar. We both do very similar things. We're working on financial health and working on actual physical. But as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, if you're listening to this and you're like, either, you know, you're trying to do all your financial stuff on your own and it's stressing you out, definitely reach out. Or if you're like you mentioned, the ostrich in the head in the sand thing, and you're like, I don't know what's going on with my finances, I'm just going to think about it later. Good to get a plan in place, right? Like, and I sometimes get patients that come in and they haven't seen the doctor in 10 years. And they're like, I don't know what my labs look like. I'm terrified. And you know, and they're maybe in their 50s and they're like, oh, am I going to die? And, you know, and I'm like, it's okay. Just like you said, you know, the finances, it's never too late to start the prevention thing. It's never too late to start working out or start taking supplements or to start doing your diet. And it's never too late to be like, okay, you know what? Like, I got to get a hold of my finances. And I think I was curious to ask you, do you think there's some shame involved here? Like, do some people come to you and they're like, I feel like I've done a best of job, I spent too much money? Or do you ever get people that come in and they haven't come in because they've been ashamed of what they've been doing, or maybe worried that they've been doing the wrong thing?
Oh, yes. Yes. I mean, even this week, yes. And that's what breaks my heart. And I mean, that is where I always say there's no judgment. Everything you talk about with a financial planner, it's just like a doctor. It's so private.
Yeah.
And we've seen it all. Like, we've literally seen it all. So again, I think there is a tremendous amount of that. And that really does break my heart.
Yeah.
And that's where I try to, education is a big part of it. You want I want to empower you and educate you. I want to help you. And if you don't want to do it yourself, I totally get it. Most people don't want to or don't have the time. You know, if people wanted to dedicate all the time, they could do it, but it's just not usually where people's passion is. So yes, there's a lot of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I do think, like with anything, whether it's health or, I remember I had this great organizer, I'm Susie Salinas of Systems by Susie. And I remember I brought her into my house and I was so embarrassed because I had this kid room that was a disaster and I just had kind of ignored it. And I was like, I had been thinking about hiring her for months, but I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to judge me so much. Like, how do I have such a put together life when my house is a disaster? Like, my kids are such a mess. And then she came in and I was like embarrassed to show her the room. And then she was like, Erin, I see this all the time. Like, it's totally normal. That's why I exist. People are like this. And just hearing that allowed me to be like, oh, okay, I don't need to be ashamed of this. So I think I would imagine a similar thing. Just having someone say like, yes, it's okay, I've seen this before, I can help you, feels so nice, right? Like you can just relax a little bit.
I hope so.
Yeah. So.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And talk to me a little bit if people are listening. Do you work? Tell me about how you work. Work only in Maryland or there are other, can you work with people out of state?
No, I'm licensed in a lot of states. So, and I can, so it's easy for me to get licensed in any states. I did give some resources. I will send my contact information. So,
so we'll post all the things in the show notes. So if you're interested in working with Liz, please reach out. Clearly, she's very passionate about what she does. And, you know, I think, you know, with anything, whether you're working with someone to support your health or in this avenue, I mean, you want somebody who is going to like go to the mat for you and make you feel good about the process, right? So, thank you. This was
absolutely
fantastic. And please reach out to Liz.
Always good to talk. Thanks for what
you
do. You're
welcome.
You're so great.
Well, guys, it was great. Great to chat with Liz today. And we'll see you all next week.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this conversation, be sure to connect with me on social media to find more helpful tips and information. You can find me at Dr. Kinney on all of the platforms. And please be sure to subscribe and leave a rating and or a review. This helps grow the show so more people have access to this knowledge that leads to empowered healing. Love and light, and see you next week.